You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
Second hour on the final Monday of the month has arrived. We say hello to you and a couple more guests to come. Let's check in with Daryl in Columbus, Georgia.
Come on, Paul.
Hello, Daryl.
Well, I mean, the people we both didn't think the NFL was going to have a Super Bowl without Taylor Swift, did they?
I just heard about it. Did you know she was dating one of the Chiefs?
Yeah, Paul. You just found out. Everybody in the country knew that.
Well, I didn't know that. I was watching the game last night, and there she was, and I was like, what's Taylor Swift doing in a football game?
Yeah, she's dating Travis Kelce or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Who you like in the Super Bowl, Paul?
Well, I like whatever team Taylor's cheering for, since I'm a Swiftie.
Taylor's a Chief. She's a Chief fan, but I'll go with KC. But, now come kickoff, if San Francisco could somehow run Montana and Rice and Ronnie Lott out there, I'd have to go with the Niners. Did you see Joe Montana?
Yeah, did you realize they've been to the Super Bowl a few times since those guys left?
Yeah, I know, Paul, but they were legendary. I mean, Joe didn't lose Super Bowls, you know what I mean?
I still remember, who was it? It wasn't Rice. Who was it that caught the famous catch against the Cowboys and broke my heart? Dwight Clark. Dwight Clark. I was a big Cowboys fan
Dwight
at
Clark.
One time. I'm not anymore.
Well,
and I remember
Clark,
watching that game, and I'm like, I mean, it was like, I was devastated.
That was one of the greatest games I ever watched.
Yeah.
NFL games. It was Dwight Clark made the catch. It was called the catch. That's what they labeled it. But yeah, it was Dwight Clark.
I remember the Sports Illustrated cover. I literally went out to my mailbox and put it in the trash can.
That was a great, great game. That was the end of the Cowboys. I tell you what, Montana rolled out and made that pass with two tall Jones in front of his face.
Oh, yeah.
That was great. Paul.
Yes.
I'm wondering there. Help me out now. I'm wondering if the process that Nick Saban had at Alabama, was it the process compensating players, and now that everybody can do it, the process was broken, and that's why he quit?
Yeah, I don't know. Have we talked since he left, Daryl?
I don't think we have, Paul. I don't think we have. But
well, we are, because I have been waiting since that date
just
3 weeks ago.
Like that. I think that his advantage was compensating players, and he no longer could do it. He no longer had that advantage, so he hit the door. They said he's going to stick around as a advisor. What are you going to advise? Stay away from
Georgia? Yeah, but Daryl, I want you to answer me one question, though. With all these, even though everything evened out, which you just got, why did he still have that innate ability to beat down your guy at Georgia?
What happened the last time? What happened to the last national championship game he played in, Paul?
I don't know. That was so. Which national championship was that?
The last one that he played in, the one that he got smoked.
Oh,
he
beat Ohio State, right?
He lost to Georgia.
Oh, do you remember that one? I do not remember that.
That was the last national championship. I mean, that was the last national championship.
Well, you
got to
remember, though,
there.
Daryl, that Alabama didn't have Mechie and Jameis. You saw Jameis last night. I mean, he was without him. What chance did Alabama have?
Paul. Alabama had, they don't want to admit this, but they had become a two-loss program every year. Only reason they didn't lose two games this past year is because Auburn bailed them out. They would have lost two more games.
Well, they lose two in the end.
But, they asked Nick Saban what his plans was now that he's retired. He said, my first plan is to get the hell out of Tuscaloosa.
Why would
he have like a final year, give Alabama time to find the coach? Let me ask you this. Who you think got the better deal, okay? Alabama on that new coach they have that's got this great record and all these wins coming against Sioux Falls. Who in the hell is Sioux Falls? Where do they play at?
Just to get the pronunciation correctly, it is Sioux Falls, not Sioux Falls.
Well, Sioux Falls or whatever the hell it is, what conference they play in?
They play in the Sioux League.
Yeah, right, exactly. That guy's going to find out what the SEC is all about. Paul, who got the better deal, Alabama or Hugh Freeze and Auburn?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I would think Alabama always gets the best deal, don't they?
Yeah, we're going to find that. Then you know what? The Alabama fans are in for a rude awakening, okay? Daddy is gone, and Daddy is still up in Athens, you know what I mean? He ain't going nowhere. He's just getting started. We will be the favorite. Us at Ohio State will be the favorite. We'll be the favorite to win our third national title in 4 years. It's going to happen, okay? We got Carson Beck come back.
But Darryl, you promised me that last time.
You know what I mean?
And Bama got in your way.
He's gone. And you know what? He didn't care about Alabama, Paul. If he did, he would have stuck around for one more year. He had like a going out party.
He knew it was time to go. Come on.
And he couldn't deal with it. He couldn't deal with the Alabama fans. And he just bailed on them. But hey, that's just the way it goes, man. They got now it's going back to the Shula days. Shula Price. That is what they're going to go back to.
Don't forget
it's going to be fun to watch. And that's all I got to say. Go on.
Okay. Well, Darryl is back. Darryl just doesn't seem to understand the Kirby Smart, Nick Saban resume. I believe Saban only lost one time to Georgia and to Kirby in about six tries. Good to have Darryl back. We haven't heard from him since, forever, as we say. Gary is up next. Do we have another call from Clinton, Tennessee? And Clinton is right outside of Oak Ridge. I mean, we've had two calls from one small town in the last 5 minutes.
Hey,
Gary?
Paul.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Listen, I want to run something by you. You're familiar with Carson Newman there in Jefferson City?
Oh, sure.
2 weeks ago, we had a young man up there, Nick Brennigan, mm-hmm. who scored 64 points. He made 18 three-point shots.
18 three-point shots?
I think the record book shows that has never been done in NCAA basketball. The guy is incredible. He scored more points than the opposing team.
Now that's pretty amazing.
It is absolutely amazing. 18 three-point shots.
Now, Carson Newman's got quite a reputation.
They do. Paul, before you let me go, one other point I'd like to make, if you would.
Okay.
Talking about Nick Saban, can you give us the statement that Nick always made? I've heard you comment on it. Whenever practice was over on Fridays, Nick always come up with two statements about what you do and what you don't do. Do you remember those statements?
Why don't you tell us since you called in?
Well, I won't get it exactly right, but I think it goes along the line that you've got to make a choice. There's things that you know you ought to do if you're going to become what you hope to be.
Right.
And you need to do those. And there's things that you want to do that you shouldn't do, and it falls in that same category. You don't do them. So you have to make choices. Life is made up of choices. And he evidently stressed that at the end of every practice. And to me, that is good advice.
Well, you know, Gary always tried to make a point. Everything he said, whether it was to a reporter, to a fan, to his team, was a message. I was subjected to that one night, and I'm like going, what in the world is he talking about? And then I realized that he wasn't talking to me. He was talking to his team through me because he knew I would have some forum the next day to And he always told his team, like you said, that they can do it. They can be whatever they want to be. It's their choice.
Exactly.
And that's what
good advice.
What made him so brilliant. Hey, thank you very much. I want to hear more about your 3-point star. That's pretty amazing. Those little smaller schools, they really don't get the credit for great basketball. Thank you very much for the call. Why don't we take a break? We still need, I think we all need a break from to kind of decompress after Daryl's call. Have you heard enough about Michigan's football program? One more guess, and then we'll shut the book on them forever. And I mean forever. Sam Webb is next.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
It was about a month ago that Sam Webb joined us for Insider Covers Michigan, and he did something which really irritated me and pretty much everyone. He picked Michigan to beat Alabama, so I immediately told our producers, never let this guy back on the airways again. Sam, great to see you. It was hard to believe. A month ago today, we were all out there in Pasadena watching Michigan beat Alabama and, according to some, ending Nick Saban's career. How are you doing? A lot's happened since then.
Yeah, a whole lot has happened since then. Michigan obviously won the national championship, and you saw some coaches really rise to the fore, especially in that game. I mean, Jesse Minter, it was a virtuoso performance by him, and I think the nation really saw what Michigan had been seeing for 2 years. That guy is really worth his salt, and that's why Jim Harbaugh is taking him with him out to the Chargers.
So let's talk about, I mean, everyone suspected Harbaugh was going to leave. I don't think that took a lot of imagination, but the decision to elevate Sharon Moore, also fairly easy. How is it playing in Ann Arbor?
Yeah, everyone is pretty much on the same page. You know, rarely do you have a fan base, an alumni base, leadership, coaches, players, kind of thinking in unison that what Jim Harbaugh built here is special. I mean, you know, the culture that he was able to cultivate, a culture that wasn't bad before. It's not like his culture was bad before 2020. But you had a guy who had some deep introspection when it was very clear that his job was in jeopardy in 2020. You got to change some things. Yeah, you had some success, but not the ultimate success. So what are you going to do to get there? And part of that was being very, very conscious of the changes he needed to make culturally. That means getting in new coaches, getting in some younger coaches, you know, kind of valuing the input of your players more. All of those things play into it. And Sharon was one of the guys that was a holdover. I mean, he broomed a lot of staff members, and he kept Sharon Moore. Not only did he keep Sharon Moore, Paul, I mean, you had a very popular coach and a very well-established coach in Ed Warner coaching the offensive line at that time. And you had a lot of Michigan fans scratching their heads as to why would Jim Harbaugh tap a tight ends coach who's never coached offensive line to coach it at a time where his job is really on the line. And you could really see over these last couple of years why. He really connects with his players. He really knows ball. He really doesn't let the adversity of the moment get to him. All of these ingredients kind of add up to a guy who, even though he's 37, is really ready for the magnitude of this moment.
And he seems like he is, and I don't know, but in hearing people talk, it seems like there will be a grace period because the schedule next year is absurd. The team looks good, maybe not as elite. And when I talk about the schedule, second game of the season against Texas, and then at Southern Cal and at Washington, that's only in the first half. The second half has Oregon at home, and then the usual ending at Ohio State. You may have heard John Bacon mention 8-4. Are we talking about a transitional year here for Sherrone Moore, or do you think this team is capable of making another, at least a playoff run?
Depends, Paul. I mean, who can he keep? You know, if he can keep this team intact, they're loaded on defense. You got two first-round defensive tackles in Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant. You have the two guys who were leaving for the draft that graduated on the edge were really, really good. But I think you could make the case that the guys replacing them behind them are even more talented. You bring in the number one linebacker from the transfer portal last year, Ernest Hausman. He's in his second year now, so he has his transition behind him. And then they get the kid, Jayshon Barham from Maryland, who I think is elite. I think he's an elite linebacker prospect. And then everyone is back in the secondary for the most part. All-American corner, Will Johnson. You have both your safeties back in Rod Moore and Makari Page. And then Keon Sabs coming on, so you're able to slide one of those guys in for Mikey Sainristle, who was a big-time playmaker for them. You have all the ingredients to have a championship-level defense. You got to find some things offensively. But again, what do they return? And a large part of answering that question anyway is what staff members can he keep? And I'm sure you've noted he's been in kind of a tussle with Jim Harbaugh for certain guys. And so far, Jim Harbaugh is winning the tug of war as they tug back and forth for some of these coaches.
Let's talk about another issue. Forget fighting Harbaugh, but since Ryan Day was left dead on the field a couple of months ago and then lost to Missouri, he's done something quite extraordinary. He's just gone, and I don't know where he's and how he's doing it. I'm sure Michigan fans have their own theory, but what is the Michigan view of what Ryan Day has done in the portal?
You don't know how he's doing it. Come on, Paul. Come on, Paul. I was born tonight, not last night. The portal is a thing. The portal is its own thing. And here's what I sense. Look, I think the resources that Ryan Day has at his disposal were at one level up to this point. Because this is not a secret to Michigan fans. Ohio State fans were complaining about the portal as much as Michigan people were. How are we not getting portal guys? And look, they were supposed to get this guy, and he's going someplace else. Now all of a sudden, Ohio State's not complaining about the portal anymore. Seems kind of odd and conspicuous, right? What it says to me is they've gotten drilled on the field the last 3 years. Every excuse has been removed. You know, you look back in 21, it was one bad half, right? Or and then you look back at 22, it was five bad plays. This year, they tried to make it about the signs, but obviously the signs weren't being stolen at that point. So let's remove all the excuses. All that Jim Harbaugh's gone now. Every player you want in the portal, you can have. So if you lose this year, guess what you can't do? You can't make any excuses. You aren't facing Harbaugh. You aren't facing Jesse Minter. You got every player you want in the portal. They don't have a quarter. They're not returning a quarterback this time around. Seems like all, and you're at home. All of the chips are in Ohio State's favor. So you should win right now if you're Ryan Day. And if you don't, well, we know what that means.
You know, I'm not a virgin when it comes to college football, but I just am a little bit shocked by what you said. First of all, you got Judkins, who a year ago was the best running back in the SEC. He decides he wants to go from Ole Miss. Then you have Sayan, who's the number one quarterback. And then who's the guy from Alabama, the defensive? Oh, Caleb Downs. I don't think you understand how three Southern guys, two living in Tuscaloosa and one living in Oxford wouldn't rather spend the winter in Columbus, Ohio. I really don't think you're being naive to think that something nefarious is going on here.
I didn't say nefarious. I didn't say Ohio State was being nefarious. There's just the way that things are done now. And, you know, we don't have to be naive about it. I think everyone is privy to it. I'm not saying anyone is breaking any rules. I'm saying there is a way that things are done in this day and age of college football. And, you know, some teams were slower to play the game. And that's not an excuse for Ryan Day. That's not an excuse for Ryan Day. He has everything at his disposal to go out and not just beat Michigan, but win a national championship. And if you can't get it, you've already changed all your steps. You changed everyone. You got a new defensive staff from a couple of years ago, right? You got a new offensive coordinator. You went and got Bill O'Brien, who I'm sure Jalen Milroe is like, that's a great hire, right?
So a lot of our fans think it was a great hire too.
So you got all these things. You turn it over play calling. There were a lot of Ohio State fans got to criticize. Take your hands off the wheel, Ryan. Well, now all of those things are different. Go win. And don't just beat Michigan. Win a championship, just like Jim Harbaugh did.
Hmm. I don't know. I don't know where we find some of these guests, guys. But, hey, all kidding aside, Sam, a lot of people in Columbus are pointing toward Ann Arbor because that third loss and Michigan winning the title, somehow, some way, that red light went off in that Columbus bang, didn't it?
It did. I think it, you know, John Bacon made a great point. You know, your rival winning has a way of triggering something in you. Like it was bad the last couple of years, but it's worse. The loss this year was worse because Michigan went and won the whole damn thing. So you got to do something. This will not stand in Columbus. That, I mean, you have a generation of Buckeyes who grew up not knowing what it was to lose to Michigan. And now to see not Michigan didn't just win, they won it all. No. Let's go fix this. If you're Ryan Day and his staff and the athletic administration there. So, and you're catching Michigan at a time where, like I said, you know, you just lost, if you're Michigan, you just lost the strength coach. This is a major, major loss for Michigan. Jim Harbaugh came in and took him. And by all accounts that I've heard, he's blowing away the pay scale for strength coaches in the NFL because they don't even play the same role, Paul, in the NFL that they do in college. So that tells you how much Jim Harbaugh values Ben Herbert. It also tells you what kind of bank he's working with. If he could come in and big bank takes little bank Michigan like he just did when he was making $1 million on a 5-year contract at Michigan. So imagine what he must be paying him in LA to get him to come out there. That is the kind of thing when you lose a guy like that, you lose Jim Harbaugh, and you lose Jesse Minter, who my guy Vance Bedford, I trust him implicitly, his football opinion. He said Jesse Minter was out front of college football. He was even out front of Nick Saban as a defensive schemer in this last cycle. That means a lot to me. So you're getting rid of all of that, and now you're facing Michigan with the replacement coach. You have no excuse if you're Ohio State not to win this game.
You know, Sam, as we close, I'm a slow believer, but if I look down one day and read that Ryan Day has put this individual in his analyst room, then I know we're going to be in trouble. And if he hires Jimbo Fisher as an analyst, then forget it. Michigan better go hide. Sam, this was fun. Really is great to see you again, and enjoy the winter in Ann Arbor.
Hey, Paul, you're welcome to come up here anytime, man.
Sam, I keep looking for an invitation. We had Roy Wood on the other day, the comedian, right before the Rose Bowl, and he actually played Ann Arbor the other night, and I jokingly said, if somebody invites me, I'll come up there and do a stand-up routine, but no invitations from Ann Arbor. I mean, I'm cheap. I'm not Roy Wood. I mean, I'm not a comedy.
You won some fans when you said, hey, you know what? The way Michigan won and they went through the last 5 weeks of the season and they beat all comers, they're the legitimate national champion. Do you know you actually won over some, not as fans, but they aren't ready to tar and feather you anymore?
Yeah, I was ready to end that. And by the way, I jokingly said to somebody the other day on a podcast, they said, why did you do that? It was on in Columbus with Tim May. I said I was sleep deprived. You know, I flew back after the game. I was kidding, of course. because I mean, I was ready for that. I mean, I did fly back all night knowing I'm going to be on the morning shows on ESPN, and I had thought about that during the 5-hour flight with as I was chowing down my pretzels and warm cold water. But I thought it was time to end it. And by the way, I was impressed. I mean, at the Rose Bowl, I walked away in amazement at what I saw. And I was not surprised at all when the same thing happened 7 days later.
Yeah, it was a tremendous performance, a physically dominating performance, especially in the national championship. In both games, frankly, they won at the line of scrimmage in both games. And, you know, you watch these teams, even in the NFL, I think there's a return to the throwback nature of football where physicality in the trenches and punching people in the mouth can win championships. We just saw it in college football, and we'll see what wins the day in pro football here in a couple weeks.
And I didn't mention it because I mentioned three of the top guys in the portal, but I'm sure some of the Michigan defensive linemen were extremely happy to see that Tyler McLaughlin, the center from Alabama, is also going to be in Columbus.
Poor kid, man. We picked that out before the game. Paul, my guys, shout out. You've had Al Borges on this show. Longtime offensive coordinator Vance Bedford. We did a preview, and they said, man, I don't know what Washington's going to do. They got a problem on the interior line because this kid is about to get destroyed. And he did. and look, he's a young guy, and he's going to get a lot better. And he was facing two NFL first-round draft picks. But here's the problem. He's going to be facing first-round draft picks all the time in the SEC. So I'm actually rooting for the young fella. I got some friends on that Alabama staff. Shout out to my guy, Courtney Morgan, who I went to Michigan with. He's a tremendous GM for Kalen DeBoer. And so they're going to get guys, and they're going to get talent. But that young fella, I think what happened to him against Michigan was really good training for what he's going to see in the SEC on a weekly basis.
Hey, great to see you. Sam Webb joining us, as we appreciate it very much. Sam, we'll stay in touch. It was fun to catch up with you these last couple of weeks as Michigan is the national champion. We'll take a short break. We're back right after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
At this, Arkansas men's basketball, Mississippi State women's, tonight. So this is obviously for college football a bit of a strange season. Most things are slowing down. You have all these, you got a lot of things, you know, Senior Bowl, the Combine coming up, the Super Bowl, but that's not really college football. But my point being that people in the media are famous for doing lists, and you always see the way too early list right at the end of usually the day after the national championship game. Well, a couple of people are doing recalibrations because you've had two of the top coaches, three of the top coaches in college football. You have Harbaugh and Saban out of college football. You got DeBoer now at Alabama. So I wanted to share this with you, not that I put much stock in anything that in terms of lists, but I do respect Pat Forty, and he has re-ranked his way too early, even though we are still in January. Georgia is number one. There's a debate, Georgia, Ohio State. Ohio State's two. But it starts getting fairly interesting. Texas is number three. You may have heard of them. Oregon, number four. Two of those coaches under consideration for Alabama's job. Have you heard Alabama yet? Aren't they usually in the top three or four? How about number five, SEC team? Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin's team. That is a major ranking for a team that a lot of people say watch out for. Notre Dame, number six. I'll see that. I'll believe that if I see it. Missouri, number seven. Let me go back and count, okay? One, two, three, four. Four SEC teams in the top seven, and none of them are named Alabama. When was the last time? This is a preseason. Alabama is number eight. Alabama is the fifth-ranked SEC school in Pat Forty's way too early. Am I right? Yeah. Florida State, number 10, about where they belong this year. Michigan, number 12, that's a little bit of a drop-off. Tennessee at number 13. So Tennessee, while being 13, is the sixth-ranked SEC school. Clemson down in number 15 position. Get used to it, Clemson fans. LSU, number 16. What are they? Have I given six already or five? Yeah, so they're number six. That is a, I think they should be ranked a little higher, but then again, oh, here comes Oklahoma at number 17. Are we getting a little SEC crazy here? And that is pretty much it for the SEC, just about seven or eight of the top couple of schools. So, but Alabama at number eight, behind Georgia, Texas, Missouri, and Ole Miss. It looks like Daryl from Columbus, Georgia, did that list. Let's get back to the calls. And Jim is in Texas. So hello, Jim. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Paul Feinbaum.
How are you?
How you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you for checking in.
Well, so you're doing this from Charlotte?
That's where we are today. Yeah, we try to move around for security reasons. we don't want some Michigan fan coming after us.
Yeah, I grew up across the border there in Fort Mill. I'm sure you've been through Fort Mill.
Oh, yeah, no, we are, our studio's, how far are we from Fort Mill? Straight line, not very far. It's about a 5 to 10 minute drive if you're a crow.
And what I wanted to tell you is the reason I got into college football was because of Paul Bear Bryant.
Yes, sir.
And I was much, much more disappointed when he retired than I was Saban.
Yeah, we had the anniversary of his death the other day, Jim, the 41st anniversary, and we're still having people call in telling us where they were when they heard the news.
I know exactly where I was. I was living in Selma, Alabama, working at a paper mill.
Yeah, that's true.
Charlotte used to have two newspapers, the Charlotte Observer and the Charlotte Evening News.
Right, yeah.
And you say, why were you an Alabama fan? Because when Joe Namath went there, it wouldn't be much, but they give, you know, box scores and college football scores and little articles. And, I mean, I could always keep up with Alabama. And I went in the Army in 74 and met a couple guys, stationed with a couple guys from Alabama. So when I got out, I moved to Alabama. I said, hell, I'm going to be an Alabama fan. But there's a couple other things I want to tell you, Mr. Feinbaum.
Yes, sir.
Some of your callers need to quit calling. And I'm not one.
Hey, by the way, this is our first call together, but that may be the smartest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, they just need to quit calling, man.
Would you mind offering who some of those people should be?
Well, Dash, he needs to get off the pot.
He needs
to get off the guns. Dash is useless. Nobody cares what he says. Daryl from Georgia, Does he not think that Georgia ball players?
He doesn't think that.
Well, he's an idiot. And a couple more
I'll
things.
Speak up when I disagree.
Oh, I know you will, sir. I watch you every day. North Carolina Tar Heels will win the national championship.
In what sport?
Basketball.
Oh, okay, yeah, you're probably right about that. Hubert Davis is quite a good coach.
Hubert Davis knows how to run that Carolina fast break.
He sure does.
He run it under Dean Smith.
Yes, he did.
And let's see, what else was there? Oh, the main thing.
The main
I live
thing
in Aledo, Texas.
I know Texas, but where is that? I don't know that. I don't know Aledo.
That's 20 miles from Fort Worth west.
Gotcha. So west of Fort Worth.
West of Fort Worth.
If you're in Dallas, camp. you go west of Fort Worth, and then you go 20 more miles.
I got you. And you.
Well, I need to come out there. We need to meet for a chicken fried steak.
Ooh, I could take you to get the best one you've ever had. If you ever
I
come
bet
down.
You could.
I'm not lying to you.
No,
Mary's Grill.
Now is that is that in Fort Worth or is that near you?
That's in Strong, Texas. They play six-man football in Strong.
Now where is Strong? Because I once passed a place between Houston and somewhere, and they said this is the best chicken fried steak in the world.
They told a lie. Strong's right off the interstate.
Okay.
Interstate 20.
By the way, I had it and didn't think it was that great, but that was near Houston.
Oh, no. Houston ain't nothing but Mexico.
Okay.
And one more thing I'd like to tell you, Mr. Feinbaum.
Yes, sir.
I told you I'm from Aledo, Texas, and we just won our 12th state championship 5A Division I ball.
That's more amazing.
Championships than anybody in the state of Texas.
Okay.
And that fella that answered this phone, I think he went to TCU.
He did, yeah. That's Danny Danny Bramwood. He's a TCU graduate.
Yeah, he knows about it.
He knows
he
Aledo.
He said, how do y'all do
did
this
you
year?
Know, Jim, that TCU once played for the national championship in college football?
Yeah. We all know.
they won the title in 35, and they played a year ago, but petitioned the NCAA to have that expunged.
Why?
Well, it's just because they don't want to be arrested for impersonating a college football team.
Yeah, I hear you, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Jim, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Do you like chicken fried steak? If this is the best in the world, I'm going to be in Texas in a couple of months. Actually, maybe in a couple of weeks. I may have to ride over there. It's just like you cut it up, the chicken fried steak. This isn't. What do you serve with chicken fried steak?
Rice and gravy.
Rice and gravy. Can't wait. I'll be right there, Jim. We're coming back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back. I don't know why I'm laughing, but I am. Trey is up next. Hello, Trey.
Paul, hey, how are you? I hope you had a great weekend.
Thank you.
Talk to you about chicken fried steak.
Okay.
You serve it with white peppered gravy, homemade mashed potatoes, biscuits, collard greens, homemade apple pie. You do the dishes. You get you a Crown and 7-Up when you're done. And then you sit back and listen to the Paul Feinbaum Show.
I like that.
That's how you do chicken fried steak.
I'm going to show my ignorance as a born and bred Southerner. But is chicken fried steak, I mean, is it that hard to make?
No.
You just kind of throw it in some grease and, I mean, you know, see how much cholesterol you can get into it.
Yeah, I just gave you a bunch of cholesterol, didn't I?
Yeah. I mean, I try to avoid stuff like that, but I have had chicken fried steak in Texas. I mean, there's certain things in Texas I will try. I mean, I've been to Fort Worth where they say the Mexican food is better than anywhere else, and I would agree. But there's some things I'm not going to try out there.
My grandmother could make the best chicken fried steak, and I have her recipe. I even still have her old cast iron skillets that are over 100 years old. And
what type of meat do you put in a chicken fried steak?
It's like a cube steak.
We used to have like minute steaks. I mean, we were so poor, we had like half a minute steaks.
Oh, yes, sir. Hey, but Paul, I
my mother
ask
could
you a
get
question.
A, you know, get there on Wednesday and get it half price, even though the meat was was yellow, she would get it.
Yes, thrown out there after about 5 days of already being out there, correct? Yeah.
Oh, Paul, the cow died last year. Don't worry about it. It's good.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.